Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Enough is enough. I don't know if I can take it anymore. Every day seems to be yet another grind. Every day is another battle, another struggle. It brings more struggles, and with each new day brings more stress. Talk about being up in front of some of your professors preaching. That is stress. But enough is enough. Just when I think I'm going to have some free time to relax, then I find myself even busier than before. Just when I think all of the problems are gone, then a new one pops out of nowhere. Just when I'm feeling comfortable and a little at peace, then someone gets sick. Enough is enough. And with age, I find myself having more and more health problems, aches and pains from previous injuries and chronic diseases. I frequently can't sleep because my mind won't stop racing with regrets or concerns or ideas. The pressure seems to mount up, and I say enough is enough. And then there is this sinful nature that I live with. My old Adam, talk about battles, talk about struggles. I know the things that God wants me to do, yet somehow I still end up not doing them. I know the things that God does not want me to do, yet somehow I still end up doing them. How can I resist these temptations? Just when things seem to be going in the right direction, Satan attacks and I fall prey to his temptations. Enough is enough. How about you? Have you had enough? Have you had it up to here with family problems? Are you just tired and worn out from the things that you have to deal with day in and day out? Are you sick of worrying about money so much? When will you be able to live comfortably? When will you be able to stop worrying about bills? Have you been beaten up by tragedies, sickness, surgeries, death? Are you exhausted from battling your sinful nature? Enough is enough, right? God's own apostle, St. Paul, would certainly empathize and sympathize with us today. For you see, St. Paul was familiar with what we are talking about. At one point in his life, he was discouraged. He was ready to throw his hands up and say, enough is enough. And he tells us why in our scripture text just read. He was plagued by what he calls a thorn in the flesh. We aren't told what it was, but it was more than likely some physical ailment. But it was more than that, for St. Paul calls it a messenger of Satan that was sent to torment me. In other words, the ailment was causing Paul mental, emotional, and spiritual torment as well. And Satan was using the problem to mount an assault on Paul's faith. That's the way the devil works, isn't it? In times of trouble, the devil wants to focus our attention only on the problem. He wants to make the problems in our lives loom so large that they are all that we can see, all that we can think about. He will hide all of the promises of God's word from us so that we are tempted to give up. He will tempt us to conclude that what we see and experience is more real than what we read in God's word. But discouraged as he was, Paul did not despair. Instead, he dropped to his knees. He turned away from the trouble and turned to Jesus Christ. For three different times, he pleaded to the one who invites, "Call upon me in the day of trouble." Three different times, he asked the Savior, "Please remove this thorn from me." And Jesus answered Paul's prayer, But he answered it in a way that Paul did not expect. For he didn't give him what he asked for, but he did give him something better. Instead of taking Paul's thorn, his problem away, our Savior gave him this remarkable promise to sustain him. For Jesus said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Stop for a moment and think of how beautiful God's answer to Paul's prayer was. He assured Paul of his grace. Can you think of a better antidote to discouragement and feelings of inadequacy than to be focused on God's amazing grace? Grace, by definition, is God's undeserved love. But sometimes we rattle it off without really thinking about what it means. Grace means that our Lord loves you and me even though we are unlovable. Even though we stand before God covered from head to toe with the muck and the mire of sin, He still loves us. He loves us to the degree that He was willing to come into our world and suffer the hell that we deserve for our sins. Grace means that for Jesus Christ's sake, our sins are forever forgiven and forgotten. Grace means that there is nothing that you or I could ever do to make Jesus Christ stop loving us, that He is on our side in every temptation and every trial, through every fear and every frustration in life. Grace means that we are never alone, no matter how weak we feel, that we never have reason to despair, no matter how depressed we get. Grace means that heaven is open for us and that we have a wonderful eternal future. That message of God's grace was enough to lift Paul's spirits and keep him going, even though he had a thorn in the flesh. And it can do the same for us. For when we are feeling discouraged and down, when we're thinking that the gospel light in our lives is little more than a smoldering wick about ready to go out, then we need to remember that we too are the objects of God's forgiving grace. Remember, as Luther tells us to confess each and every day, "Nevertheless, I am baptized." That wonderful sacrament that brought you into God's family was bestowed on you by grace. It marks you as one redeemed and forgiven. And when we receive Christ's body and blood in the Lord's Supper, we receive His forgiveness and strength for the day. You see, God's grace did more than just lift Paul's spirits. It empowered him for the Lord's ministry. That's why Paul wanted rid of the thorn in the first place. He wanted to be a better pastor, a more effective missionary, a better servant of Christ. "If only I didn't have this trouble, I could do so much more for the kingdom." But that's why our Lord's answer is so beautiful. "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." And with those words, the Savior was saying to Paul, "Paul, I'm going to leave that thorn in you, not because I want to torment you, but so that you learn that your effectiveness in the kingdom, your value as a missionary, your power as my servant is not dependent on you. It is not dependent on your health, on your physical strength or abilities. It is not dependent on you at all. It is dependent solely on my grace. And as long as you have my grace, you have all that you need." Did Paul learn the lesson that the Lord wanted to teach him? Listen again to the way he closes out the chapter. He says, "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul learned a valuable lesson in this, and he teaches it to each of us. We are frail, weak, sinful human beings, but we are made strong when we rely on the forgiving power of God's grace. Martin Luther once said that as long as we think that we are something, God can't do much with us. So in his wisdom, God lets us see our weaknesses and our inabilities. He lets us realize that we are no match for Satan and his temptations. And when God does that, he has a purpose, for he is teaching us to give up on ourselves and to rely instead on him and his powerful, forgiving grace. We have a God whose grace is so powerful that it can take weak, cowardly, untrained men like the disciples and turn them into preachers of the word. We have a God whose grace is so powerful that it could take a man like Paul, who was determined to stamp out the Christian church, and turn him into possibly the greatest missionary that the world has ever known. When we are weak, then we are strong. You see, we are dealing with a paradox here. For the world says, only when I am strong, only when I have status and power, influence and wealth, only then am I strong. But the Christian says, only when I am weak, only when I realize that the world's symbols of strength mean nothing, even if I have them all, only then I am strong. Thank God for thorns, whatever form they may take, for they remind us that we are weak. And when we know we are weak, then we are strong in Christ. For Christ is not mighty within us. His word and his faith are not strong in us unless our bodies suffer affliction. When we are weak, then we are strong. For Christ's almighty power works great things through these feeble instruments. And as I said at the beginning, enough is enough. For you too, like Paul, can boast because you have enough, for you have God's grace, and God's grace is sufficient. Thanks be to God for giving each and every one of us enough. Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.